This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. There is a new leader in Islamabad in Pakistan. His name is Sharif. This one is the brother of Nawaz Sharif, who was removed some years hence by major forces in Pakistan, chiefly the army. And to help us tell this tale of do-over, I welcome Sadanan Dumay of the Wall Street Journal and the American Enterprise Institute, writing about not only the ascendancy of the brother Shabazz Sharif to replace his brother Nawaz Sharif, but the guy in between, who's a very famous cricketer named Khan. A very good evening to you, Sadanan. Imran Khan is a cult hero. He's more than that. He's a national hero. But he's now been elbowed aside by the parliament and, we can believe, by the power forces in Islamabad. In addition, he's telling a wild story about how the U.S. did it. First of all, why was he removed from office? Good evening to you.
Very good evening, John. Imran Khan was essentially removed from office because he lost his majority in parliament. It was a very slender majority. And he had won power, in fact, in 2018 with the backing of the military. The military had essentially railroaded his main opponent, Nawaz Sharif, and had managed to help Imran Khan recruit all kinds of people, particularly in Punjab province, political leaders to bolster his party. He lost the confidence of the chief of the army staff because last year Imran Khan tried to get his own man appointed as head of the very powerful inter-services intelligence. That gambit failed. It ended up being a confrontation between him and the army chief. Without the backing of the army chief, the opposition was able to get its act together and turf Imran Khan out of office.
Khan is a cricketer and a celebrity and a hero to many. I see that his rallies are well attended. Was he ever a politician? How did he get into this position of losing the confidence of his party? Did he work for it? I don't understand why he was there.
Yeah, well, he didn't lose. I mean, he lost the confidence of some members of his party who became dissidents, but he really lost a vote in parliament because the opposition parties had the numbers. He had a very slim majority to begin with in parliament. So he does largely retain the confidence of his own party, but he didn't retain the confidence of parliament. And you're right, he is a wildly popular cricketer. In fact, the most significant sporting achievement of Pakistan, independent Pakistan's history, was the 1992 Cricket World Cup, where Imran Khan led his side from behind to this thrilling victory. They were underdogs, no one rated them, and he made them world champions. And for many years after that, he languished on the sidelines of politics. He was a bit of a joke in Pakistani politics, where he kind of had this one-man party. At one point, he was the only elected representative of the party. But about 10 years ago, he started capturing people's imagination more as a politician. He had always captured their imaginations as a sports hero. And he started doing better as a politician. He did reasonably well in the 2013 election. And then in the 2018 election, as I explained, with the backing of the army, he managed to pull off a victory and become prime minister.
Now the puzzle. The attack on America as the source of all mischief in Pakistan. Is that longstanding or did Khan make this up?
Both. It is longstanding. You know, the old joke in Pakistan has always been that there are only the three A's that determine everything in Pakistan. And the first one is Allah. The second one is the army. And the third one is America. So that's a sort of longstanding political joke in Pakistan. But it's certainly true that Imran Khan has, from the start, he has always espoused this sort of It reminds me of the kind of half-baked leftism that he would probably have been exposed to as a student at Oxford in the 1970s. That view that somehow anything bad happens anywhere in the world, it must be the Americans' fault. That has always been his ideology. But what's different now is that he is directly accusing Washington. He's directly accusing the Assistant Secretary of State for South and Central Asia of orchestrating his eviction from government, which frankly is a preposterous idea.
He says that, well, it's flattering of the State Department.
Absolutely.
All right. Now, the puzzle, I understand cricket's much more important in the subcontinent than it is in my experience. Although recently I went through the reporting on the match between England and Australia called Ashes, and that was grave business for both those countries. So I understand you get caught up into it. But I don't understand what talents he brought to the prime ministership. This was a nation in constant conflict with its neighbors. And in addition, the Taliban were taking over in his time in office. Did he have any skills for those challenges, which would have weighed upon the greatest statesman in history?
I have to say that, in my view, Imran Khan was underwhelming as a prime minister. He, for example, when the Taliban took over Kabul, he praised this as them removing the shackles of slavery. He showed up in Moscow the day that Putin began his invasion of Ukraine and said something to the effect that he was so excited to be there. So he was out of his depth. He had a few sort of, you know, standard formulas about what he wanted to do with the economy and what he wanted to do with the foreign policy. Much of his foreign policy was focus was on fighting what he calls Islamophobia around the world. So kind of, you know, almost like a sort of, you know, cutout figure, a person with just a few slogans and ideas that he tried to implement into policy, but without much success.
The three A's. Allah will set that aside because we cannot know the will of Allah. But we can know the will of the army. The army is okay with this switch. However, you wonder why they chose him in the first place. Has he crossed the army in some important fashion, or can he build a comeback? Can the army change its mind again?
So it's tricky, and that's really, you've put your finger on the most important question. Imran Khan does not have a rift with the army. He has a rift with the current army chief. And if you look at his speeches, he's very careful to not criticize the army as an institution. Many of Imran Khan's supporters are big supporters of the Pakistani army, and the Pakistani army was naturally comfortable with his kind of, you know, Islamism-light rhetoric and his foreign policy and his economic policies. The problem is that he tried to wrest real power from the chief, and the Pakistani army has many flaws, but it is undoubtedly the most coherent institution in that country. And it's an institution which has traditionally taken chain of command very seriously, which basically, as one of the generals said the other day, was that when the chief of the army looks in one direction, all our eyes look in the same direction. So he messed with the chief decided not to back him anymore. He ended up losing his job, but it's not clear what sentiment among the rank and file is. And there are some indications that among the rank and file in the military, there is still a lot of support for Imran Khan.
The new prime minister, Shahbaz Sharif, brother of the former prime minister, the headlines have pointed to Prime Minister Sharif looking for diplomacy toward Delhi and toward Beijing. Is that sincere? Does that work?
So, you know, traditionally the Sharifs have been pragmatic, practical, business-oriented, sound administrators. And what they have always tried to make the case that they should, that Pakistan should have better relations with India, because if it has better relations with India, it can spend more money on its own economic issues, it can spend more money on infrastructure, more money in education, health, and so on. So they've always stood for reaching out to India. That has been the philosophy. But, you know, as you know, ultimately the army has a veto in Pakistan. So it depends, it remains to be seen whether Shahbaz Sharif has General Bajwa, who's the army chief right now, on the same page as him. If he does, then there indeed could be moves towards some kind of thaw in the Pakistan-India relationship.
Sadanan Dume for the American Enterprise Institute and his column at the Wall Street Journal editorial page on the new boss, who is brother of the old boss in Islamabad. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.